parking lot. If you have lost some cash and see me after service, I'll return your cash to you if you lost any cash. Well, okay. Anyway, so sorry about that, jumping around. I was thinking when he mentioned that $81,200. Thank you. $81,000. I wonder what the folks that started that church right over there would have thought. They said, tonight we raised this much money when they first opened that church. $81,000. Yeah. Then I thought, too much is given, much is required. We've been given a lot. We'll be required of a lot. And if you think, sitting here this morning or this evening, you think, wow, that's awesome. We're going to do, you know, God. That sends out a message to the enemy. It says, we need to attack them. They're doing something that's unheard of. Amen? But then also should send a signal from heaven to say, hey, I didn't give that to you just to squander it. I didn't give you a new building for you to be in awe of that building. Use that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going over there. I don't do it here. I've never done it anyway. I never really walk into a building and go, oh, wow. I think of it this way. We don't worship the building. We worship God. And we go into that building thinking, man, we're going to be able to use that building for all kinds of capacity for God. We're going to wear that thing out. That's what my whole thing. I hope in 5 or 6 years people are looking at thinking, man, what did y'all do in here? Y'all about ruined this place. I'll say it again for everybody that y'all about ruined this place. We brought everybody and anybody who would come in here to get help. We brought them in here. We ain't no inclusive group. We ain't no monastery. We ain't no museum. We're not some place that's trying to keep all of our stuff nice and neat till the end of time. We're trying to make it. We're trying to show people Jesus Christ. I was standing here talking to somebody this evening, had a real serious conversation going on right here at the front of the church this evening, or this morning, right after service, so it was afternoon. And Jackson came up and gave me like a 6-piece combo. I mean, what I mean by that is, I mean, I'm having a real serious conversation about a lady. She's really needing prayer requests. He walks up and he's just giving me the business. I'm like, Jackson, I'm trying to talk to somebody. He goes, yeah. And I just looked at the lady. I said, I'm sorry, but this is our life here at Flat Top Church. We got a lot of kids, and you know what? Sometimes I'm the punching bag, and she goes, you know, I needed it. So anyway. Well, I don't know why I went down that rabbit hole with you, but I guess the main thing is, guys, we're standing on the edge of doing something really great. And we're also standing on that same edge of doing something, like, really useless. Let's do something great. Amen? Let's just do something great with it. That's what I want to do. All right, so we're going back into this series. It's not a series. We're doing the Book of John on Sunday nights until we get done. How about that? That way you'll give there's a little anchor to what's going on in the ministry here on the night. And on Wednesday nights, we're in that Proverbs 27, and we'll be on there for a little while until we get done with it. That was really powerful. That was probably some of the best preaching I've got to do in a good while. Sunday mornings are very, very difficult. Wednesday night and Sunday night, folks, would y'all begin to pray more intently before we come into Sunday morning services? If y'all don't know, there's a warfare going on Sunday mornings here. There are people that are pulling in every different direction. So we need you to pray that God would come down and make himself clear and shown and known to everybody. We're going to have people running in and out to the Lord and away from the Lord. And it's not going to be a mistake. That's what we're doing here. Amen? Y'all remember that. So let's get in. Do you ever have questions of what God would have you to do for him? Amen? Do you ever have those questions? So I'm going to try to answer some of those for you tonight. But I want to preface that by saying this. There at no time will the pastor of this church be able to tell you directly what God wants you to do. Whew. That stinks, don't it? Because sometimes we want to come in and we want to say, hey, Kevin, tell me what you want me to do for the kingdom of God. Now, I might be able to put you on something that we have going on in that immediate time frame, but ultimately, I'm never going to satisfy the burden that's in your heart, and I can't give you that. Amen? What I can do is I can feed your spirit. I can set us up to do multiple ministry things, and hopefully you will volunteer to get into those things. And by doing that, I hope that you find the fire and the desire and the burden to serve God in that. Amen? That's how it works. That's how it worked with me. That's how it worked with my dad. That's how it worked with anybody. Some of you sitting in this room who have been in ministry, done ministry, it's a burden that comes from God that you can't explain, you can't extinguish, you can't start, and you can't stop. Thank God. I said that last part on purpose. You can't stop it. If you get in a ministry that you can stop, if you get in a church that you can stop, if you get into a place where you can quit, that's not of God, that's a you thing. Y'all ready? And this is the record, this is the testimony, amen? And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are thou? Who are you?" You know you'll be in trouble when you get the enemy mad at you, the world mad at you, and then ultimately religious people to get mad at you. If religious people get in your business, mad at you and upset with you and kind of want you to quit, you have reached God's calling in your life. Amen. Just sit there and be satisfied in it. Just be going, all right, I've arrived exactly where I need to be. The religious folks are totally ticked off with me, so I must be right where God would have me to be. The world will kill you. Right? The world will kill you. But usually the religious people will deliver you up to have you killed. Oof. Amen? It'll be the weirdest people taking you to the slaughter. I thought it's the people I came to save. Amen? That's Jesus. That's John the Baptist. Amen? John the Baptist was hated by everybody, and when he was beheaded by King Herod, none of the church stood up and said, "Hey, stop doing that." They were all, thank goodness they got rid of him. But moments after they got rid of John the Baptist, Jesus' ministry goes into full swing. You might want to write this down. If you think you are going to kill the ministry of Jesus Christ and His gospel, every time you hurt it, every time you destroy it, every time you think you've snuffed it out, you have created a bigger, bigger fire than you could ever imagine. The church loves prosecution and persecution. Loves it. We don't. Our flesh don't. But the Spirit of God loves it. The more you get broke, the more it tries to be crushed, the further and the faster it goes. Do you know why that is? I had a hard time preaching that this morning. You preach this on a Sunday morning. I preached about, did y'all hear what I preached this morning? I preached crushing on a Sunday morning. Take your crushed, broken heart to God and let Him have it and let Him heal it and let it use it for somebody else's coming to Jesus. Do you know what lost people think of that? Baloney. That's crazy. I don't want to be crushed. I want to live my life uncrushed. I want to go through life without my heart being broken. I want to be blessed, and I want to be the top. I want to be the winner. I hate to tell you, life's going to crush you one way or the other. God's just good enough to tell you. God just tells you it's going to rain on the just and unjust. It's going to storm on the just and the unjust. But the only difference is when it storms on you, you're going to fall on me and not fall apart. Man, I love that. Praise God. I've had some of the same things happen to me in my lost life and in my saved life. The only difference is how far I fall. I just fall back down to Jesus and go, "Man, it's good to see you, Jesus." I realized that, you know what, I had a bunch of stuff I didn't need. I just need you. When I was lost, I just kept on falling, kept on sinking, kept on getting madder. Amen? Everybody's fault, everybody's problem, everybody's situation but God. All right, so when we see John the Baptist, and they come out there and they say, "Who are you? You should be getting this question some if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Some people should be saying, who do you think you are? What are you doing? Because you should be different. When you get saved, you should be totally different. John the Baptist was a different cat. Amen? He was a different person. Just knew I threw cat out there. He was dressed different, talked different, ate different. He was different. It's all right to be different if God is the one who's making you different. I wonder what his dad was thinking. I mean, his dad was up there, man. He was a priest. I mean, he was on the Sanhedrin. I could just see him. Man, what? Golly, I could see my dad looking at me sometimes in the way I dress. You preaching that? You doggone right I do. Hey, man, he was old school. Hey, man. But I want to say, I mean, I'm telling you, though, could you imagine him getting up? Camel's hair, locust and wild honey, hair frizzed out to here, leather girdle, the leather girdle alone. Where do you find the leather girdle? Golly, y'all help me out. It'd be all right. Just smile. I mean, fake it for a minute. Smile. Just smile one time while you're here. Could you imagine that? Could you send that him? Where are you going? I'm going up to the temple and offer up sacrifice and you know, sweet and savor. Where are you going? I'm going down to the river preaching baptism and repentance unto Christ. Man, just stick with me. You see him splitting off and going to work? I know it didn't work out that way, but just think of it. Could you see some of the high priests? Mufflers, wimplers, crisping pins, 12 tribes of Judah on their chest. I mean, man, looking like something. Passing John the Baptist, going in two different directions. One's going, we got to get up here and commit sacrifice. The other one's going by, repent, repent, repent. That's what the church should sound like today. We don't tell anybody to repent. Well, I hope they change, or I hope they get better. God, what can you do? I hate that. So dumb. What can you really do? Stand flat-footed right in front of them, tell them you love them, and they should know that you love them, and say, repent. If you'll turn from this, your life will turn around. They'll only hate you for a little while. If they ever repent, you'll be the first person they find. They'll come and say thank you. You say, how do you know that? You don't know that. Yeah, it worked for me. My dad told me more than a million times, right in front of my face, Kevin, repent. I didn't like him at all. I was so mad at him, but the day I got saved, and every great, wonderful thing in ministry I ever done, Charlie, I called that man. I called him. God's doing this. God's doing that. God's doing that. And you know what? And I said, I'm glad you told me to repent, or I wouldn't even know who God is. Repent and be ye baptized. Down there at the Jordan River, all the people. Y'all get a hold of this. He's down there preaching at the river. Ain't even got a building. Ain't even got no congregation. He's just down there preaching. Everybody else is going to the temple. The most beautiful thing, most beautiful place, and everybody's down at the river getting baptized. I mean, John's just dunking them one after the other. And they don't even know what baptism is. They don't even have a clue what that means. There's no significant scripture for it. It's totally new. He's the forerunner of Christ. Who are you? That's a big thing in ministry today, and that's a big thing the devil's going to ask you, the world's going to ask you. Who are you? You better find your identity in who you are in Christ Jesus. You better find that and be staunch in it. Be solid in it. Don't get shook for anybody. Stand in your family, stand in your town, stand in your community, stand in your country, stand in this world and say, this is who I am. This is who I am in Christ, and I ain't moving. Who are you? I like that. We ain't got any further than who are you. Verse 20, and he confessed and he denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Jesus. I'm just one telling you about him. Hey, man, I love that. I'm not Jesus. I get people all the time. I have people call me from different states and stuff. They'll come and say, when you was down here in Arkansas, you saved me. I said, all right, hold on. Let's get on. Let's talk a little bit. I didn't save you. Because as soon as I left Arkansas, you wouldn't be saved anymore. Amen? Here's who saved you, and if he didn't, you need to get saved. It's Jesus. It's not me. Amen? But we got people out there who will confirm to be everything, but guess what? He said, I am not the Christ. Then they go in verse 21, and they ask him, what then? What are you? What? You know why they're asking that? They don't know what he's doing. Man, that's, golly, I love that. That just puts out, we ain't never done this before. I love, what are you? What is this? I love it. What are you? What is this thing, right? And I've jumped all over. There you go. And he confessed. What are you? And are thou Elijah? Are you Elijah? Is that who you are? And he said, I am not. Are thou a prophet? And he answered, no. That is so good. They're trying to figure out what his ministry is because they ain't never seen anything like it before. And he's totally confident in doing what he's supposed to be doing. He ain't got to explain to nothing to nobody. He's just answering the questions. Nope, nope, and no. Have you noticed he ain't sat there and tried to explain to him everything that God's done in his life and who he is and where he's been? He didn't go back to his birth mother. He didn't go back to the situation where, you know, he leapt in the womb. He didn't do that. He just said, no, that's not who I am. You know why? Because listen, you might want to write this down or think about this. When you're busy serving God, you don't have to explain to everybody in the world what you're doing. Just do what you're doing for God. Amen? Make it short, make it precise, and keep doing what you're doing for God. A lot of times in this world, what people want you to do is they want you to get in an argument, a wrestling match, or some long, drawn-out conversation that's going to end in you doing absolutely not what you're called to do for God. I have people all the time, it's the most ignorant thing I ever heard. Can we sit down for hours on end and go over this one scripture and talk, or I can show you you're wrong and I'm right in this thing? And I tell them, no and no way. Go find somebody else to wrestle with. This is how I believe. This is what I see in the scriptures, and I ain't changing my mind. Me and you ain't never going to sit in a room for an hour doing nothing. You might think I'm pig-headed, mean, whatever you want to call. Sometimes it's a waste of time. I'd rather share the gospel with a lost person. I'd rather talk to somebody about Jesus where it makes them get into their gift and calling. I don't want to wrestle about Scripture. I do not. I don't want to have a fight. Now, if you want to have a study and me and you are going to chop up the Word of God and then we're going to go share the gospel, I am all in, friend. I want to learn more. I want to know more, but I ain't going to. Man, I had one. I'll bring all my books. Man, there ain't nothing scares me more than somebody bringing me a wheelbarrow full of books. Sorry. I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'm not the Christ. He says, no. Verse 22. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Who are you? What are you doing? We've got an answer to somebody. Ain't that amazing that they sent some authority? What authority do they have come down there to him? The most highest religious people have come down to see what he's doing. Is that the highest authority? If you read in John 15, 12, it says, I have called you and I have ordained you. When I first got into ministry, I'd been preaching about a year or so, and somebody said, hey, we're going to license you to preach. I'm like, wow, license. That sounds good. Got a license to preach. Been preaching for a year. Didn't even know I needed one. Amen. I've been preaching about 3 days a week for a year, and they're like, we're going to license you. I'm like, sweet. I went down to a radio broadcast and preached on the radio with this guy. And his name was Moses, matter of fact, not the same guy. But we were sitting there, and he said, what's going on this week? He said, I've got to go back to my church. They're going to license me to preach. He goes, man, they ain't licensed me to be preaching. I've been preaching 3 years. I said, man, I just must be ahead of the curve on you. I wasn't being smart. Like, I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know if you reached a certain licensing for preaching, you know. And then when I got called, you know, I went into full-time ministry and I started pastor church. They said, I was sitting under at that church and I said, hey, well, you know, they said, do you want us to ordain you or do you want somebody else to ordain you? And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, well, I don't know. I said, what's the difference? They said, well, we'll get some people around from here down in Georgia, and that's scary. Just kidding. I lived down there for 10 years. I ain't scared of people from Georgia. We'll get 10 or 12 guys we know, and we'll ordain you. And I went, well, I know 10 or 12 people in the ministry. You ain't doing that. I'll do it myself. Hey, man, I'd rather have 10 or 12 people talk to me that know me than 10 or 12 people trying to roll me over some coals about being ordained. Amen. I said, we can handle that. I called my pastor and said, they want to ordain me. He goes, wait about 6 months, we'll ordain you. And I told him, man, I was kind of, you know, I was messed up about it. And I called him. I said, hey, Brother Bob, what? I was thinking about it. And I called him. I said, man, what does this mean to be ordained? He goes, well, it's kind of like we're going to lay hands on you. It's kind of Presbytery. We'll pray for you, and we're going to give you a charge, and we'll do some things, and we'll send you out, and you're able to do it. And I went, what if you didn't ordain me? He goes, I don't know. He goes, it's what normal churches do. Amen. Well, then that's when I got into John chapter 15, 12. They ordained me. Great service. Amen. My dad preached the charge. It was wonderful. Amen. And you know what they did? Instead of doing the questioning part, me and Melissa were sitting up on the front row, scared as all get out. Had a big full church full of people that was supposedly our friends. They didn't tell us a thing that was going on. They just had her and me sitting up front. You know how she is, all loud and everything. So they got her up in front of the church, sitting up here in the front. Me and her, co-piloting, right? They're back there in the back doing something. I have no idea. I've never been there. And I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden, God gives me a message. I'm like, God, this ain't the time. I'm getting ordained. I mean, you need to bother somebody else about this word, because I'm being ordained right now. This is big business. God said, I got a word for you. If you'll crack your book open, please look. So I reached under the thing, got my book out, started fiddling around there with a word, and all of a sudden I found it. And I said, well, there it is, God. He goes, yeah, give me about three or four, you know, good points out of that baby right there. Just give me this, and give me this, and give me this, and give me this. And I'm sitting there, and I forgot that I was in the ordination. Debbie, I'm way off in left field right now, so hopefully I'll get back, okay? So, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, all right, God, I got this message right here. I got it. I know it. I know this. I can fire it off. And God said, all right, when you get the chance, you fire that message off. And I'm like, well, praise God, we're in the ordination. Don't have to worry about that. Slid it back up under the seat. They come back out, and they've done their thing. And all of a sudden, we got down to the questionnaire point. Brother Kevin, we're going to ask you some questions. It's the question period of your ordination. I went, ooh, I probably won't know the answer. I memorized one Bible verse just to make sure I made it through. Jesus wept. Amen. I figured I'd get real nervous, and I'd clam up. I could think of a million scriptures when I'm preaching, but I probably couldn't think of one if somebody just told me to do it. So I'm sitting there in my mind going, Jesus wept, Jesus wept, Jesus wept. Sorry, I know y'all don't do stuff like that. But at that time, he said, we decided amongst ourselves, all these men who've known you all these years in ministry, we didn't want to ask you any questions. You probably answered them by the way you've been living. We were just wondering if you would preach us a message real quick. I said, now I know how to do this. I can shoot out the lights all night. Here's what I've been doing. Preached that message, got ordained. It was a beautiful service. I got in the car, and God brought that verse right there to my memory, 15:12. He said, I've called you and I've ordained you. You didn't need a man. You didn't need a woman. You didn't need anybody to touch you or call you. It was wonderful they did it, but you remember, you are not owned to any man. You don't owe to any man. You are called by me. You preach because I called you. You stay in the ministry because I called you. Don't you ever quit, give up, back up, stop, because I called you. That's why I don't put much trust in men or favor. I just sit there and go, you know what? God's called me. I'll do what we're going to do. You better make up your mind, because it will get hard and it will get tough, and people will ask questions of what you're doing. You better be already made up your mind. This is not of me. This is of God. Amen. He said in verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then if thou be not the Christ or Elias, neither the prophet? Verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. You know what he was saying? I do it because I was called by the one who sent me to do it, and I will do it until Jesus shows up. And once he shows up, then I will bow out and get out of the way and let him do what he does. Do y'all want the biblical answer to that? John chapter 1, verse 6. Here's a simple answer. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's why he did everything he did. If God sent you, God's called you, you do what God's called you to do. Period. You don't have to wrestle. You don't have to argue. You don't have to verify. You don't have to validate. You don't have to sit there and go, well, I'm this or I'm that. I know this or I did that. I grew up here. No. God sent me. And until I see Jesus, I'll just be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Ain't that a good ministry thing? Until I see Jesus, I'm just going to do what he's called me to do. I'll just keep asking people to repent. I'll keep baptizing them until I see Jesus. Well, we'll give you all a little glimpse into the next part of this story. You know what? Jesus comes down there to the baptism and gets in. Did y'all know that happens? Did y'all know that he does that? Do you know what river that's in? Huh? Jordan? The Jordan River, is it? Do you know the last time in the Jordan River, if you go back in the Old Testament, do you know that the children of Israel crossed over that river with a man? What's his name? Well, no, it wasn't Moses. Moses didn't get to make it in. What was that guy's name? What was Joshua? How do you say his name? It's Joshua. Actually, the real pronunciation of Jesus. It's the same. Joshua, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. I'm just throwing in some bonus stuff. We'll cover it again. But you know what? The last time that the seas opened up, that Red Sea opened up, Joshua brought them through. And do y'all know what they set in the midst of the Jordan River? Some stones. Some rocks. To remember. Oh, goodness. I'm preaching right now. He brought them rocks while the water was hither and thither. Amen? Y'all remember I said that. That's a good word, hither and thither. Do they say when that water backed up, Charlie, you are the person that needs to study this out, that it pushed the water all the way back and flooded for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles each way. Amen? But they walked over and they set a rock down in that. And they said, this will be a remembrance to when God let us cross from here into the promised land. I'm preaching right here. See this. Watch this. Jesus walks off into the same river. The rocks that they put in for a testimony would say the Savior. The rocks would cry. Those same rocks said, it's God. Same river. The big rock, the cornerstone, is standing in the Jordan River, letting everybody come in. Because a few minutes after that, you would see God from heaven go, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's Jesus, the expressed image of God. And then the Spirit descending down like a dove, the presence of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All in one place going, I'm about to save the whole world. Let it be a testimony known all to men. Guys, we're sitting here. We're sitting here in time. And not too long from now, we're going to be sitting in eternity because God came down as a testimony and set a rock in our deepest place and said, I will die for you. Man, ain't that good. Let's all stand. Oh, man, good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.